Welcome to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. I'm Stephen Spitz. The New Mexico legislature kicks off its 60-day session on January 20th, and this time it really may be different. We've got a Republican House to go along with a Republican governor and a Senate controlled by conservative Democrats. So are Republican dreams about to come true? Here with the inside scoop are two terrific analysts who formerly served on the Albuquerque City Council, Democrat Miguel Gomez, and for the Republican side, Greg Payne. Let's talk first about the elephant in the room. Literally, the Republicans are running the House. And maybe I'll start with you from the Republican side, Greg. What difference do you actually think this is going to make in legislation that goes through with Republicans controlling the House?
The first thing that I would look for on the Republican side is the issue of driver's license for illegal immigrants. And that hasn't happened previously or in previous legislatures.
It's gone through the House, right?
It has gone through the House, but I think that people are going to start, especially in the Senate, start looking at what happened to the House this go around 2014 and start thinking about what might happen to the Senate for Democrats in 2016.
Do you think in general the Republicans are going to have, you know, more clear sailing both in the Senate and in the House now that they've had this overwhelming, really, victory in the last election?
Absolutely. The governor was overwhelmingly reelected. You had, for the first time in I think it was something like 60 years, Republican control outright of the New Mexico State House of Representatives. So I think that is going to cause some shockwaves over on the state Senate side. It's going to be a lot easier for the governor to get her agenda through on the House side. I'm not saying it was that difficult to begin with a very slim Democratic majority. But I think you're going to see some willingness on the part of Senate Democrats to work with the governor and to work with their counterparts, now Republicans, controlling the House.
So what do you think, Miguel? Do you have a different view of it?
Maybe just a slightly different view. I think you're right that the Republicans are going to have an easier time, obviously. But I think there's the possibility of overreach. You know, the Republicans kind of overreaching on a bunch of issues, and I'm sure we'll get to them later on. And I think that's a danger that the Republicans face, and I think there could be some pushback, some strong pushback in the Senate and from the public in general.
So, all right, so let's get right to the budget. And in the past, first of all, the budget's about $6.2 billion, which sounds like a heck of a lot of money, but actually the budget, I don't think, has recovered all that much from its recessionary effects. It's not that much greater than it was under Richardson. And the amount of new money that's available has been estimated now to be about somewhere between $100 million and $140 million. If you just used inflation, that's not very much money, and it's almost like a flat budget if you just distributed it out to all the programs from last year. So first of all, let me just ask you, Miguel Gomez, from the Democratic side, do you agree with what I just said? Do you, that perspective?
Mostly. The one difference I would say is that $100 to $140 million is getting smaller every day.
Yeah.
That was as the estimate when the price of oil was about $60 a barrel. It's below $60 a barrel now. It's probably going to dip a little bit even below that further. And so that revenue, that new revenue, may amount to essentially nothing.
All right. So what do you think, Greg Payne?
I agree with Miguel. I think we're going to have a very difficult financial situation as oil and gas drop. They have been driving the budget, the revenues that the state gets from oil and gas. So I don't look for a lot of new initiatives coming from the governor. I mean, maybe we're going to see some tweaking here and there. But I think the stuff we're going to see isn't going to have a price tag attached to it.
Sorry. So let's talk about some budget items that I do think are going to be presented. And like to group sort of the governor's education proposals together. One of them is to increase the starting salary of teachers. I can't imagine that's going to get a lot of pushback from Democrats. But there's a couple that might, which is a merit-based pay pilot programs. There's also a mentoring program that she's proposed. And all of these would cost money. They would be paid more for these things. And then $100 debit cards for school supplies so teachers don't have to pay school supplies out of their own pocket. Just taking that as a group, Greg Payne from the Republican side, what do you think How do you think that's going to fare, and what's your reaction?
Well, I think the governor and her administration are going to argue that even with limited additional monies coming into the state, that these are not things that are going to cost that much in the whole scheme of things, that they're absolutely necessary, that in order for New Mexico to move forward, we're going to have to improve our educational system. They're potentially huge payoffs with a small dollar amount attached to them.
Yeah, they're sort of Bill Clinton-ish, a small ball that sounds good. What do you think, Miguel?
Yeah. I think the governor's going to have her way on this. There's a number of Democrats that have supported the governor's education initiatives already, and so I don't think there's going to be much pushback from the legislature. I think there are going to be pushback from the teachers' unions.
Yeah, the teachers' unions aren't going to like
that. That's right, and that's a major constituency of the Democratic Party, as we all know. And so I think there's going to be some big pushback from the teachers' unions and their allies in the legislature, but you know that number has been shrinking. So I think the governor, in the end, will probably get her way on most of these education initiatives that we're talking about.
Let me just move to the next issue, which is finishing money or closing money. All right. So there's been this proposal to move from $15 million to $50 million. And the idea is that this is sort of, after all the sweeteners, you come in with the closing money or the finishing money, and you bring a business in. Michael Sanchez has already said he likes this idea, right? So, you know, from the Democratic side, Miguel, sounds to me like it's going to get through the House and get through the Senate.
Right, right. This is being pushed by the incoming Speaker of the House, Don Tripp from Socorro, and by a number of Democrats, the majority leader in the Senate, the majority whip in the Senate, the former Speaker of the House, Democratic Speaker of the House. But I think, again, here's where the pushback might be, and I think a lot of things are going to kind of break down along these lines, is that you might get some major pushback from some traditional Democratic constituencies, kind of, you know, advocate groups that are out there fighting this. As a former city councilor, I mean, I've seen us run through kind of these kind of things with companies, and then I've seen these companies disappear with creating very few or no new jobs and the taxpayers being left with the bill. So I think there's a possibility that some traditional Democratic constituents groups will push back on this.
What do you think, Greg? This is going to go through. Right?
It's going to go through, but I think Miguel is right. There are going to be some areas, both on the right and the left, groups that don't like this sort of thing. You know, the Tea Party is not a fan of what they term corporate welfare, and it seems like we can't attract a business to New Mexico without having some sort of subsidy or some sort of, you know, underwriting.
But every other state is doing the same thing. So New Mexico says, you know, we got to do something. I guess my problem with it is it's sort of unregulated. I mean, what are we trying to achieve by this? What kind of businesses are we trying to bring in?
And we dealt with this on the city council where we were issuing industrial revenue bonds for call centers. And
exactly.
So we have this call center economy.
Yeah, that's not building the economy.
And here's the other problem with this issue. It's unregulated and it's unaccountable.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no accountability in this. There was a recent study that lists New Mexico 45th, you know, out of 50 states, obviously, in kind of our accountability measures for these kind of stuff. And so, again, we're at the bottom of another bad list. And I don't see any movement in the legislature to kind of put these more stringent accountability.
All right. So, you know, we got to move this show really quickly. So if we're going to give a legislative preview. And so let's just go to proposed legislation. And let's start with holding back third graders, because that is something that Governor Martinez has campaigned on this. The Republicans in the House campaigned on this. The argument is, you know, sort of not being able to read at grade level in the third grade is sort of a talisman to future success in education and in life. And therefore, what you need to do if the kids aren't reading at grade level is hold them back. The counter argument is that these holdback programs have been extensively studied and shown to have at best minimal impact on later reading scores, while at the same time significantly increasing the likelihood that these students will drop out. Sort of makes, and you know, I would say that Bill Clinton campaigned on this, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, campaigned on this. It's something that polls extremely well, Miguel Gomez.
Sure. This is one of those things that sounds like it's the right thing to do, and you're right. It is a measurement of success for later life. But there's lots of measurements, lots of earlier measurements, actually, that are more indicative of success later on. I think the governor's probably going to get our way on this. There's a number of Democrats that have been willing to go along with the governor on this in the past already, and so she's probably going to get her way on this. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of evidence that says this is actually – not the right policy move, that it's more expensive than other things and that doesn't really achieve the outcomes that you would think it would have.
Yeah, in the end, when those third graders are held back or in their senior year in high school, it's going to cost the state $125 million more because essentially you're educating 12,500 kids, 50% of the kids who don't read at grade level, for an extra year. So that's real money, like, right, Greg?
Well, but I think the governor and her supporters on this issue are going to argue that, look, you know, we've got to stop this business of social promotion. We've got to have accountability within the schools. We've got to do something about this uneducated workforce that's holding us back in terms of our economic development. That would be the argument. And like Miguel said, I think it'll ultimately wind up going through because what sitting legislator wants to be in a position in 2016 of having to have a mail piece hit their district that says, you know, they were in favor of promoting kids to the next grade who couldn't actually do the work.
All right, so you've just tuned in. This is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. This is our legislative preview show, and we're pleased to have two people who really know what's going on in the legislature, Greg Payne from the Republican side and Miguel Gomez from the Democratic side. And so let's move on to an argument that I'm sure you're very familiar with, Miguel. You've been the point person for pushing early childhood in the Senate and House committees. As we said earlier in the show, it doesn't look like there's going to be any new money for any of these programs. That means that, you know, right now we have about 1,000 kids a year that are being home visited. We have about 8,800 kids in pre-K. That's out of 25,000 kids. We've got 70% of births are Medicaid qualified. 80% of families are on SNAP. And yet these programs, home visiting and pre-K, are the programs that have been shown to work, not arguably working like holding back third graders. Yet it doesn't look to me like there's any money in the general fund to expand these programs at all.
Right, right. It goes back to the old saying, right? Penny wise, pound foolish. And I think that's what we're doing in New Mexico. As we all know, New Mexico's at the bottom of all these lists. You know, we have one of the highest teen birth rates in the country. We're second to the bottom in terms of poverty. We're at the bottom or near the bottom in child well-being. And we're not spending the money where we really need to be spending it on these high-quality early childhood programs. And it's too bad. I mean, there's still going to be a push to do the constitutional amendment for early childhood.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks it's completely dead. But you've been the biggest advocate for it. You don't think it's completely dead?
As we all know, you know, politics is strange, you know, and things happen. And so, you know, we're going to have legislation out there. We're going to have proposals out there that keep pushing this early childhood
stuff. How do you get through the House?
It's going to be tough. You know, there may be, you know, some surprises in the House, but it's going to take, you know, I mean, it's going to take some kind of, you know, some kind of deal, you know, that could happen. I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
You're not predicting it.
I'm not predicting it. I'm not putting money on it. But I'm just saying there's going to be these initiatives out there. And, you know, things happen that all the time that we're surprised about. You know, we're going to talk about this later on, but, you know, there could be, you know, God forbid, another horrific, you know, child abuse case or, you know, something that really, you know, commands the public's attention that they could push something like this.
Yeah, I mean, let's just throw in Omari Varela because, you know, that, you know, somehow that seems to have faded. And, you know, CYFD is talking about another $10 million for protective services. But, you know, that's not, you know, Omari called the 911 himself,
yeah,
right? And
that's
he ended
exactly
up getting
right.
beaten to death.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm just saying that there's things that we don't know, you know, that are gonna surprise us in this session. It's a long session and something could happen. It's a long shot for these proposals that I'm talking about. But I think we've all seen the polling on specifically the constitutional amendment. It polls as good as any issue there is out there. 71% of the public supports it. Only about 12% opposes it, you know, some undecideds. And so we can see some movement on this with, you know, I mean, some other circumstances.
So let me turn to Greg Payne from the Republican side and you know, get your practical reaction to what Miguel
said. Well, there's going to be surprises during the legislative session, but I'll go ahead and make the prediction that Miguel won't. This is not going to fly. I mean, early childhood education, the initiative or the effort to put on the ballot for a public vote is not going to pass. It's not going to pass the House. It's not going to pass the Senate. And the irony is,
yeah,
even though
it didn't even pass the Senate last night, Miguel.
Even though it polls so well, it's being held up by Democrats. I mean, mean, it is specifically a Democratic chairman, John Arthur Smith, who won't allow the vote, won't allow it to come out of his committee. And the one thing that we saw out of Sam Bregman as Democratic State Party chair is he basically said that we might have to look at, Democrats might have to look at primarying John Arthur Smith in order to get this vote. The Senate leader, the Democratic leader, Michael Sanchez, took to the floor and defended John Arthur Smith. So, I mean, no surprise here. There is not going to be a vote in the 2016 session of the New Mexico State Legislature
really
on early childhood.
I'm just going to say, you know, surprises happen, and there's strategies in place that I think a lot of people are going to be surprised about.
Keep hope alive. So let's move on to an issue that Greg talked about. Greg Payne from the Republican side mentioned early on, that's repealing driver's licenses for illegals, so-called illegals. And this, is something that Governor Martinez has pushed, the Republican Party has pushed. And I have to say, just from the start, Greg, I don't understand why Hispanic female governor, whose, you know, sort of nationwide appeal is being Hispanic, would be pushing this, because it doesn't seem like, to me, like something that Hispanics in general are going to find attractive.
Because it polls incredibly well, especially
in
New Mexico among Republicans. And when the governor pushed that, it was initially back in 2010 when she was running for the Republican Party nomination. And Alan Way, in his role as Republican Party chairman, had endorsed amnesty. And so it was a wedge issue that she has latched onto and has really pushed on through. Now, I think it's going to be interesting, given her national political aspirations in 2016, how she handles this issue and what Republicans do with it. Because before, I mean, it was a free ride. I mean, Democrats in the legislature were going to block it. She could propose it and it wasn't going to go anywhere. Now it can go somewhere.
Yeah. And it seems to me like the Governor Martinez wants to project a moderate, compromising image, Miguel Gomez, from the Democratic side. And I'm not sure that repealing driver's licenses for undocumented people does that. And there's sort of a spanner in the works, because now the Dreamers have papers. There's another 5 million deferred action people who are going to have papers. And there's a Ninth Circuit decision that says you can't discriminate against people who are lawful in this country. So it seems to me that the old Republican bill just won't go.
Yeah, well, I think you and Greg are right on the case that, and I think we, everything this legislative session has to be colored by Governor Martinez and her national ambitions. But I think the Republicans want to have, would love to have an Hispanic woman, the first Hispanic female governor in the country, kind of pushing the Republican line on some of the immigration stuff, or at least giving them some cover on the immigration stuff. And so I think that's kind of where we're going to see some of these things happen. Obviously, this bill on the repeal of the driver's license has already been introduced, by two representatives. It's going to have problems, as you said, legally. But I think the Republicans are going to push it forward. But it's going to be colored by what the governor wants to
do
nationally.
One quick comeback.
I think what you're going to see is an effort by the governor to come up with a compromise bill so that she can say, yes, I was tough on this issue. It was about public safety. But at the end of the day, I worked with Democrats and we were able to make sure that, you know, we dealt with the issue, but not in a way that was harsh.
One concluding thought, Miguel.
Also, when the governor first introduced this legislation, New Mexico was one of, you know, two or three states that did this. Now there's, you know, there's about a dozen states that are, they're issuing licenses in some form or another to undocumented immigrants. So it's going to be hard for her to make the same case she made, you know, 4 years ago.
All right. So here's a Democratic issue that seems to be getting some play, which is almost strange in this environment, which is the minimum wage. There have been several bills proposed. One raising it right now, it's $7.50 an hour. There's been a bill proposed to raise it to $8.30. There's another bill to raise it to $10.10. I saw something in the paper that said Nate Gentry was open, who's the House Republican whip. He's open to considering something like this. Even Governor Martinez, after the close of the last session, said, you know, maybe she'd have gone along with a minimum wage increase too. So how do you think this is going to play, and what do you think the reaction is going to be in the legislature?
I think we've seen minimum wage initiatives all over the country passed by huge amounts when they go to the voters. So everybody knows this is a popular initiative.
The polls really well.
The polls great. And you know, among Republicans and Democrats. And as you said, Steve, the governor did say that she was in favor of increasing it. I guess the question is, you know, where are you going to draw the line at? Is it going to be 1010? Is it going to be 850? You know, and so that's the issue. Ironically, some Democrats, some of these conservative Democrats that we talked about, are looking at a lower minimum wage than what the governor or even, you know, Nate Gentry has mentioned.
Yeah, so, I think that's why it's going to be something like—
So this is
like,
Greg Payne from the Republican side speaking.
And I think what you're going to see happen here is have the Republicans working with some of these conservative Democrats passing a minimum wage bill, but it's going to be really watered down, something like $8.50 an hour, phased in over 15 years or something like that. So yeah, they can say that they support the minimum wage, but it's not going to be much of a wage at all.
I mean, the argument against it's always been, well, you know, you're going to price— businesses out of work, they're going to have to close, they're going to have to get rid of employees. But it seems to me as long as you're putting money into the pockets of minimum wage workers and you're not out of line with competitive states or competitive salaries, you know, it's always going to increase the economy. It's always going to have a positive economic effect.
Right. I think we've seen enough evidence on this that unless you're really putting the minimum wage at a very high number, it doesn't have those impacts. And I think another kind of issue that's playing into this is we saw the U.S. Senate race with Alan Way, where he had those just disparaging comments about the minimum wage come back and really hurt him. And so I think the Republicans don't want to get caught kind of in that political mess again. And as Greg said, that's mostly what this is going to be about. It's both sides actually are trying to put the other side on the defensive for the 2016 elections.
All right. So if you've just tuned in, this is New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name's Stephen Spitz, and we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in 60 seconds. Welcome back to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. My name is Stephen Spitz, and I'm very happy that I have in my legislative preview show for the Republican side, Republican Greg Payne, and for the Democratic side, Miguel Gomez. And we're trying to move through as many legislative issues as we can that we think are going to be coming up. We just talked about the minimum wage, and there's a really hot issue for the Democratic union people, and that's right to work, Miguel Gomez. And, you know, there aren't a lot of manufacturing industries in New Mexico, but the public employee unions are huge. And the public employee unions really went after Governor Martinez and the Republicans in the last election. And as they all say, elections have consequences, and the Republicans wouldn't mind getting back at the public employee unions, right?
Yeah. This is going to be a very contentious issue. And I think this is one issue where the Democrats may be able to hold the line, even in the conservative Democratic coalition in the Senate. And I think it's largely going to break along party lines on this vote. You know, so that's why I think they may be able to hold the line in the Senate.
So hold the line in the Senate means prevent a Senate vote?
Prevent a Senate vote or kill the legislation on the Senate side.
In a committee?
In a committee or even on the floor.
Oh, on the floor. So what do you? What's your take on it, Greg?
I look at this as one of the most important issues we're going to see play out in this session of the legislature. I think it's important to the governor for her national ambitions. We've seen Republicans like Scott Walker in Wisconsin gain huge national attention within Republican Party circles over taking on unions and public employee unions and winning. So I think that this is going to be one of the major fights, if not the main fight, of this legislature. I think it's going to pass the House very easily. And I disagree with my friend Miguel. I think it's going to pass the Senate with conservative Democratic support.
So where's that support going to come from? From that coal? There's about six conservative senators. All you really need is four of them to go along, right? With the Republican proposal. Then you've got a 21-21 tie. And the lieutenant governor,
John Sanchez, breaks the tie.
Breaks the tie, right?
But here's the problem: is that every, even those conservative Democrats, you know, they're going to be up in 2016, and so they're going to potentially have to face a Democratic primary race. And you know, the unions, you know, both the public employees union, the teachers unions, they've been the main Democratic primary drivers in the way of.
So they're more worried about an attack on the left than on the right.
I think if they're not, they certainly should be in a Democratic primary.
And I disagree. I think that the Democratic Party and a lot of their supporters are pale shadows of what they used to be a few years ago under Governor Bill Richardson. I think that the governor and her political advisor, Jay McCleskey, have a machine that really kicked into high gear in terms of taking over the House, holding on to the Secretary of State's office, winning the land commissioner's race. I mean, a lot of people say, well, it was a Republican year, and in a sense it was, but I think that you're going to see more of a concern on the part of some of these conservative Martinez Democrats in the Senate going along and voting for what is going to be a very important agenda item for the governor and supporting right to work in New Mexico.
All right. So one more big issue that was you just mentioned, the Secretary of State's race. Diana Duran, the candidate, the Republican candidate, really ran on voter ID. I mean, this was her classic issue. This is a voter ID, meaning basically some kind of photo identification so that when a voter has to show that photo identification in order to vote. And so from the Republican side, Greg Payne, what do you think of the issue? Is there any chance that it wouldn't go through the House? And what do you think its chances are in the Democratic-controlled Senate?
It might not be so good in the Senate. It's going to pass overwhelmingly on the House side. But I'll say this. The Republican Party has done a very good job of really zeroing in on a handful of issues.
All right. So put on your prediction hats. Let me start with you, Miguel Gomez. What's going to be a summary of what happened in the 60-day session as best you can predict?
One is the Republicans are going to get most of their agenda, the stuff that we've talked about. There's going to be some social agenda items on that also. But I think the other kind of underlying story is going to be something that hasn't really been talked about a lot. There's going to be a lot of infighting among the Republicans.
Greg Payne, from the Republican side, what do you put on your prediction hat?
I think you're going to see right to work pass. I think you're going to see a budget that the governor will argue prioritizes spending or reforms the state government here and there. But I think overall she's going to have an outstanding session.
I'm sorry to say we're out of time. I would like to thank my two guests, Democrat Miguel Gomez, and for the Republicans, Greg Payne. Thanks also to my producer, Jefferson White. The executive producer of this show is Lynn Shebeki. You've been listening to New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas on KUNM. This show and archives of my past shows are available at stevenspitz.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.